Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Senate Republicans defending the Trump administration's sweeping revamp of USAID led by Elon Musk, and now the billionaire seen inside the Department of Education building. It's a department that President Trump has promised to shutter. Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina, among the Republican lawmakers downplaying Musk's power.
We've got oversight. If he goes too far, I'll be the first person to step up. He went too far. Elon Musk is trying to look at waste in government that continues to grow and grow and grow.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s nomination for Secretary of Health and Human Services has passed the Senate Finance Committee. The vote was along party lines, 14 to 13. A group of FBI agents who assisted in January 6th Capitol attack criminal investigations now filing a class action lawsuit to block the Justice Department from assembling lists of agents for potential disciplinary actions or firings. New 10% tariffs on imports from China officially in effect. This is ABC News. A first for the music streaming service Spotify.
2024 was the first full year of profitability for Spotify since it launched in 2008. The company's fourth quarter earnings show it made about $1.2 billion in profits last year. That's compared to more than half a billion in losses in 2023. Subscribers are up too, more than 10%, with 263 million people paying for Spotify Premium. That's despite the company raising the price of that subscription last June. Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
Uber has rolled out a new feature to make it easier for customers traveling with service animals, automatically notifying the driver when you book your ride. The rideshare company is warning drivers that refusing rides because of a service animal is against the law. While Uber pet drivers can charge riders a cleaning fee if their companions make a mess, drivers cannot do the same for riders with service animals. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Okay, I have to tell you, I was just looking on eBay where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Tad Aylin. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin was in Madison Monday to discuss funding she secured for the Wisconsin Opioid Overdose Response Center. The Wisconsin Democrat says that could now be in jeopardy because of a federal funding freeze issued by the Trump administration.
This is unconstitutional and an illegal grab of power. The Constitution is crystal clear that Congress makes laws, Congress passes budgets, and the administration implements them, whether Trump likes them or not.
Baldwin has secured $2 million in funding for the center. Absentee ballot deadlines are approaching for Wisconsin's February 18th spring primary.
Starting today, 2 weeks before Election Day, clerks can begin issuing in-person absentee ballots at the clerk's office or another designated location. The in-person absentee voting process, sometimes called early voting, involves a voter both requesting a ballot and completing that ballot on the same trip. Voters will need to show an acceptable photo ID when voting by in-person absentee ballot. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A conservative legal group is suing the WIAA over transfer rules.
The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty accuses the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association of illegally interfering in the business of publicly funded and administered sports groups. This is after a student who was forced to go from private to public schools due to an illness in her family was blocked from joining the Baraboo softball team. The girl's family requested a waiver and was denied. A will spokesperson says the girl's family pays school taxes and lives in the district, and the WIAA has overstepped its bounds as a private organization. The WIAA is declining to comment due to the lawsuit. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Mostly cloudy and quite chilly today. High temperatures will only reach the mid-teens with feisty winds, which is knocking us back to feeling 10 to 15 degrees cooler. They ease overnight tonight, we slide to the single digits, and with temperatures a little warmer tomorrow, we are looking at light snow moving in by night. Get the bathroom you've always wanted from BCI Bath & Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Right now, it's 6 degrees.
Soybeans just posted their highest close since October 10th and above the 200-day moving average for the first time. Do we have more room to run?
Live, looking for a little running room via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Susan Stroud from No Bull Ag. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, filling in for Chip, the pride of Water Street, from Zahner Ag Hedge, Ted Hartbread!
Well, hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hello, Ted. How are you?
I'm all right. It's Tuesday, and yeah, we had a lot of green on the board.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's February. I mean, we're working our way through it, getting closer
to
you know, some warmer weather and some planting. And, you know, I'm going to say the more fun time of the year. Right, but yeah, it's all good.
Exciting. I don't know.
It is.
It's okay. So here we're in Kansas City. You're up in Chicago, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. So we're 34 degrees and cloudy here. I'm just curious. How does that compare to what you've got going on outside your window?
You're 10 degrees warmer and same sort of sky. It's gray, cloudy, and 24 degrees currently.
Okay.
Which, you know, we were in like the 50s a couple days ago. I actually got a chance to take the car out for a couple hours, but
was this a top down occasion? Are we talking a rag
top? No, sir.
Okay.
And it's a hard top like T top, but yes, I'm definitely, except for I'm incapable of any facial hair, but aside from that, yes. but no, it was a quick jaunt down the highway and back in order to get the juices flowing for the car and myself, I suppose.
Sure.
And yeah, I mean, whenever you get a chance to do that in the last day or last couple days of January, that's not a bad thing.
Can I assume,
even though sitting on summer tires that are no good under 50 degree temperatures?
Well, were you running it on clean, burning, delicious ethanol?
You know I always do, brother. Attaboy, yes. Attaboy. Yes, sir. Yes, good. Sir.
That's the important part to me right there.
Yeah, me too. It smells so nice. Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So who you got with you today?
Well, we're going to be talking to Susan Stroud of Noble Ag.
Oh, she's good.
And we've had her on as a guest a couple of times before. Oh. This is timely because I just went on a trip with her, curated by her, or put together by her, to the Panama Canal. And that was amazing. She did a wonderful job with that. We'll probably talk about that a little bit. But also, Susan is going to be down in Kansas City, where you are, for the Top Producer Seminar, February 17th through 19th, and she's going to be speaking at it. So I thought we'd maybe preview that a little bit, too, as well as maybe find a couple of things to talk about in the markets. I know we're really hurting for news lately. Yeah, right. So we'll figure something out, you know?
Absolutely. Well, let me lob a couple of news grenades at you, and we'll see what
pops.
You
should.
After a sluggish start today, wheat futures gathered strength as the session unfolded. SRW wheat futures were firmer for the second straight session on support from sharp losses in the U.S. dollar, though technical resistance continues to curb momentum. State-level winter wheat condition ratings showed modest deterioration in the HRW crop during January. That's despite an improvement in top producer Kansas. March HRW wheat futures today gained 9 cents to 594 and 3 quarters. March SRW up 10 and 1 quarter cents to 577. March spring wheat futures closed at 621 and 3 quarters. That's up 5 and a quarter cents. I didn't like wheat's chances at the open. I'll be honest, Ted.
Yeah, no, same. And look, I don't think the news is all really swirling around wheat. This is more a row crop thing. However, wheat is very quietly, but sure-footedly, putting in a very interesting, what could be long-term bottoming formation on a chart, and we closed over the 100-day moving average for the first time since, well, really the first time since early October. So just very similar to the soybeans, I guess. But don't sleep on wheat. It is the one that, I don't know, the chart, I think, really intrigues me.
Huh, interesting. Well, corn futures built on yesterday's gains amid a sharp decline in the dollar. USDA reported daily corn sales of 132,000 metric tons to South Korea. South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier lowered his Brazilian corn crop forecast 2 million metric tons to 123 million metric tons, as it's likely, he says, 30 to 40% of that Safrina corn crop will be planted after the ideal window has closed. March corn futures today gained 6 cents to 494 and 3 quarters. May corn up 5 and 1 quarter cents to 505. July corn futures closed at 5.07, up 3.5 on the day, Ted.
Yeah, we've got multiple stories happening from Brazil. Certainly the harvesting of the first season soybean crop. But really, I think you're going to hear a lot of private analysts lowering that second season corn crop because of the delayed planting and getting pushed back into their typically hot and dry season during grain fill. So, look, we've got a ball game as far as South American weather right now, including Argentina.
Yeah, we do. Well, strength in soybean meal supported a moderate rise in soybean futures in today's trade. China earlier today imposed targeted tariffs on U.S. imports and put several American companies, including Google, on notice for possible sanctions in a measured response to the sweeping duties on Chinese imports imposed by President Trump. Dr. Cordonier left his Brazilian and Argentine soybean crop estimates unchanged on the week, and forecasts for South American soybean production will rise 7.6% from last year. March beans were 16 and 3 quarters higher, but 10.75. May beans climbed 15 and 1 quarter cents to 10.88. July beans closed at $11 and 3 quarters. That's up 13 and 3 quarter cents. Pretty decent day in the beaners.
Pretty decent day in the beaners. However, I am actually increasing my expectations on that Brazilian crop. Keep in mind, they were 1 to 3 weeks late getting planted. So for them to be 1 to 3 weeks late getting harvested, that seems ideal. And you wonder if they've added some weight. Like those rains that came late in the season, I wonder if that actually is really pushing them. Quite the opposite of what we had for our growing season. But what a sigh of relief that we didn't see soybeans or soybean products or even hogs on that list of Chinese tariffs to start the day. I think that was a big win.
Well, March cotton was 90 cents higher today at 66.94. Let's get to your livestock's where fat cattle futures softened amid corrective selling as funds continue to liquidate long positions. Last week's cash cattle average was up another 38 cents to a record 209.57, marking the fifth straight week cash prices notched a record. April fat cattle declined $1.50 to $198.65. June live cattle down $1.25 to $193.22 and a half. And March feeder futures fell $2.25 to close at $268.25. And on the snout side, lean hog futures shot higher today after yesterday's limit down performance in the April contract. The pork cutout dropped 94 cents to 93.81 on Monday as it gave back a portion of last Friday's strong gains, led lower by hams. April lean hog futures, $3.40 higher, 89.75. The June contract, up $2.60 to 101.95. Ted, I don't expect that they're related, but you got lower fat cattle, which seems like a pretty big story. You got sharply higher hog futures today after kind of a stinker of a performance yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I saw earlier on a tweet from Pro Farmer about that 38 cents week over week in the cash cattle. That's awesome. You guys have been doing some really good stuff. And cattle, or I'm sorry, hogs have been a wild ride in the last couple days. That is all headline tariff related. Mexico and China, they're big players in that market. And for the fact that Chinese, or it wasn't on the Chinese list today, that was a big win. So, everybody, when we come back, we're going to be talking to Susan Stroud of Noble Ag. So come on back to AgriTalk.
As a grower, when you take out a land loan from FBN Finance, you're borrowing more than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert. I am from Zaner Ag Hedge, filling in for Chip Flory here today. He's down at CattleCon. And a lot of green on the board today for the grain complex. Very mixed in the livestock, as we were just barely kind of scratching the surface on there at the end of the last segment. Davis asked, didn't have a ton of time, but yeah, hogs. Wow, what a crazy last 2 days. But I mean, in the last 24 hours, you take the two countries that, you know, you look at last week's export sales, weekly export sales report, and it was roughly 33,000 metric tons. A third of that was to Mexico, and a third of that was to China. And in the last 24 hours, you had tariffs to Mexico getting pushed back for a month and looking like cooperation happening for Mexico. And then you had Chinese response to our 10% tariffs, where there were, you know, no hogs on the list, no soybeans either. But the only thing agriculture was equipment on there. So just a major sigh of relief there in the hogs over the last 24 hours. And I think that's why we were down sharply yesterday, but then took all that back today. Again, wild ride in a lot of these markets right now, because we have some very wild times when it comes to global policy, politics, global economics, trade wars, you know, lots of things going on, and we are hanging on headlines and we are trading accordingly. Not to mention that we've got a whole lot of weather going on for corn and soybeans as well. So I don't know. I think we're in for a wild ride here for quite some time, but it certainly has been that. Now, today we are talking to Susan Stroud of No Bull Ag. If you guys don't follow her on Twitter, she's awesome. It's at Susan at No Bull. I highly recommend you guys do that. One other thing that Susan does, or recently has started doing, is curating, putting together Ag Venture, although if I understand correctly, the name will be changing for next year, but trips to agriculturally orientated things in the world. And I just went along on this last one, which was to the Panama Canal. And I got to say, it was a wonderful experience. Really enjoyed seeing the canal. Very educational. But Susan did a fantastic job of putting that together. To bring Susan on the show, I'm going to start with saying thanks, Susan. Thanks for coming on the show, and thanks for putting together that awesome trip to Panama.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, and thanks for participating. I thought that I knew that it was going to be a fun time, and the canal was just something amazing to see, but we had a really good time, and I cannot wait to plan the next one.
Yeah, absolutely, and the timing couldn't have been more perfect. I know you weren't thinking that when you were putting it together, but I mean, with all the headlines of us looking to take it back, you know, that was it's so crazy to be watching all that happening in the news, having just been there, you know, a couple weeks ago, and it's really cool. But not only that, Susan, you are also going to be one of the speakers at the Top Producer Seminar in Kansas City. That's coming up February 17th and 19th, so coming up very quickly. Your topic is change is the only constant, but it doesn't have to be a threat. And you're on the second day, 9:40 to 10:25. So those of you going to the Top Producer Conference, as you should, be sure to check out Susan's presentation. Susan, what are you going to be talking about?
You know what? I learned a while ago that it's easiest when I do speaking engagements to kind of stick with that theme of change, because that's we've had so many changes in the dynamics of markets. Not even just the past, few years have been very wild. And then, I mean, even for ag here, just the past few weeks have been incredibly turbulent times. So I always like to give kind of a rundown that puts things in perspective, like where we started at, say 30, 40 years ago, and kind of how markets have evolved, not only here in the U.S., but then we've had these major global players like Brazil come in and that have really changed the shape of supply and demand both for corn and soybeans. And so it's just, you know, we're ever evolving. And the biggest challenge, I think, for producers and even those in the industry is just being able to identify those changes and then learn how to adapt your business practices as necessary.
That sounds fascinating. I'm slightly disappointed that you only have 45 minutes to do that, because I feel like that's a topic that you could go on for hours. So, yes.
Hey, Ted, can I jump in here real quick and just say the words tpsummit.com for more information? tpsummit.com for more information.
There you go, Davis. Good job, buddy.
Shameless plug.
Well, I'll jump in too. Yeah. So if you visit me on X at Susan Noble, scroll down just a little bit, you'll see my headshot along with some top producer promo. There's a promo code though that will get you a discount on registration. So you're welcome.
That's awesome. Discounts are always fun. Does anybody else have anything else they would like to plug? We have the floor. No? I'm also going to throw in, hey, go to Zahner.com and sign up for the afternoon commentary. It's me leaving a message of about 5 to 7 minutes about grain highlights. So, anywho.
That's Zahner with a Z, right?
Zahner.com? With a Z.
Can it be simple, Ted?
It definitely is. Although, there's a lot of people that sometimes think my name is Ted Zahner. No, Zahner is the company I work for. Ted Zahner is kind of a cool sounding thing,
but
no, that's not the case. Anywho, okay, well, that was there's a lot going on, obviously with Panama on top producer and things like that, but then also there is a lot of stuff going on the markets. A lot of strength on the board today. Corn gave a little bit of back at the end, but soybeans did not. I feel like soybeans were the clear leader of the day, at least towards the end of the day. Susan, what has gotten into the soybean market?
Well, I guess we, the nice welcome surprise, the soybeans were not included on this initial round of tariffs as announced by China. And it didn't seem, you know, we've had the past 24, 36 hours. It's just been a wild ride of, here come tariffs. Oh, wait, nope, they're delayed. Or here come, I mean, just, what a mess. But yeah, markets today definitely pleasantly surprised that we're not entering into an all-out bean war with China quite yet. And I think that the market also, I mean, I guess there's nothing sexier to talk about in the market than this idea that China might come in and buy copious amounts of U.S. corn. The rumors have been circulating for a while now as we're kind of building up to this. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's the case. I don't think cash markets have reacted as if it's the case, but regardless, we'll take whatever wins we can get. I do think from a producer perspective, and obviously today with some weather stuff too, because you have meal bouncing a decent amount as well, that says that there's weather concerns, but I don't know. I think you just have to be very careful and tread lightly in these things because no one knows ultimately what tomorrow brings. Heck, we don't even know what a couple hours from now might bring. And this is playing out faster than ever before. It seems like we're having much more violent moves or kind of chaotic moves in the market. And we all can remember what it felt like when we woke up, I believe it was an April morning of 18, and saw that beans were down 50, 60 cents. You know, you just have to keep reminding yourself of that because we've crawled out of quite the hole here. And I'm not saying that I'm super bearish, but at the same time, you have to be smart about this because we're in a new, this is all new territory. And if someone tells you precisely that they know, you know, what's going to happen or how this plays out, they couldn't be more wrong.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I think there is a lot of risk to the downside from where we stand. And I certainly do remember that morning where we were down. I remember looking at it down 58 and a quarter and being just like, wow. Also going to say, though, by the end of the day, we had taken back a lot of those losses. Certainly not all of them. But, man, it has a similar feeling to that. The volatility that we've seen over the past four trading sessions, but even you can go back the last basically 2 weeks, it just feels nervous. You have nervous markets. It wouldn't take a whole lot to really change the trajectory or the pattern or really anything. Corn has certainly looked the best. And I'm going to say, I think corn, because of the concerns about the second season corn crop in Brazil going in late, I think has the most support underneath it. But there, too, you have funds that are really very long. I mean, it's really they've been or matching the longest they've been at this time of year. I think that offers a lot of risk, kind of regardless of what weather might bring. Okay, so we've covered a lot here just in the first segment, but we've got a lot more to get to when we come back. We are, again, talking to Susan Stroud of Noble Ag. So everybody, come on back to AgriTalk.
You set high expectations for yourself, and so do we. As America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational event, Commodity Classic has held record-breaking shows 2 years in a row, keeping you at the top of your game with a world-class trade show and inspiring education designed by farmers for farmers. Commodity Classic is elevating excellence in agriculture as we visit Denver for the first time in 2025. Join us March 2nd through 4th and discover more at commodityclassic.com.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where March HRW wheat futures gained 9 cents to 594 and 3 quarters. March soft red wheat added 10 and 1 quarter cents to 577. March corn futures gained 6 cents to 494 and 3 quarters. July corn futures closed at 507. That's up 3 and 1 half cents on the day. March soybean futures 16 and 3 quarter cents higher at 1075. May beans climbed 15 and 1 quarter cents to 1088. March cotton was 90 cents higher at 66.94. On your livestocks, April fat cattle down $1.50 to 198.65. March feeders off $2.25 to close at 268.25. April lean hog futures, look out! $3.40 higher at $89.75. Get more, visit profarmer.com.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owner's agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay & Associates.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Mostly cloudy and quite chilly today. High temperatures will only reach the mid-teens with feisty winds, which is knocking us back to feeling 10 to 15 degrees cooler. They ease overnight tonight. We slide to the single digits. And with temperatures a little warmer tomorrow, we are looking at light snow moving in by night. Get the bathroom you've always wanted from BCI Bath & Shower. 1-800-329-4115. Right now, it's 6 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifried of Zahner Ag Hedge, filling in for Chip Flory. And we've been talking to Susan Stroud of No Bull Ag, and man, we've got a whole lot to talk about, and time flies when you're having fun. So I guess let's just get back into it. I've got a lot of ground to cover here yet. Okay, so Susan, at the end of the last segment, we were talking about how beans were rather strong today. China, part of the reason obviously was China did not include soybeans on the list of things to be tariffed in response to our 10% tariff on them. But also, I'm going to say I was hearing, and rumors are rumors. It doesn't mean it's true. And we've heard these before. They haven't always been true. But I was hearing that there was some rumors of either Chinese buying or Chinese interest out of soybeans from the Pacific Northwest. And that's significant because of the timing. Some people would suggest that it is because China is looking for ways to sort of make things look better while Trump sort of mulls over his next move. Others would say this is just the Chinese bridging a gap between old crop and new crop Brazilian soybeans because of the delays in harvest. Susan, what's your take on all that? Did you hear anything about it?
I think that we've heard this story here, the same kind of story of, a little PNW bean business, maybe being related to a friendly sign or whatever ahead of potential tariffs. I don't know anything specifically. All I know is that we do continue to see China buying U.S. beans, and keep in mind that they like to buy, Sino likes to buy U.S. beans because they are, well, we had a very dry crop this year for one thing, but a lower oil content than Brazilian beans, so for stocking. And then also you have to consider that Brazil's had a fairly wet situation that will, they're again working, as you said, to bridge the gap. I don't know. I mean, it's just like kind of the idea that China would come in and buy U.S. corn as a friendly gesture. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense at this point that they would buy U.S. corn. They just have their however many record corn crop row, and they have domestic prices that are substantially lower, although it does pencil, I mean, it doesn't, it's just one of those things that I'm not certain that it makes sense for them to come in and buy large quantities. So I don't really have good answer for you, but I mean, we've been hearing these same types of things for the past few weeks now, and we've seen a few flashes, but I think it's very difficult. You'll never be able to tell with China, is this something that's just posturing and positioning, or is this just business as usual because there's a gap or they're stocking or whatever it may be?
Yeah, I mean, the sales that we have seen have been, I mean, I don't want to say typical because it's actually below typical. I mean, you go back to look at last week's weekly export sales report, and the soybeans were bad. I mean, 438,000 metric tons. That was below the low range.
Well, as they should be. I mean, because that's the market's been trying to get a lot of people want to get all bulled up and say, well, there's an issue in Argentina or Brazil has an issue, but I just looked at the numbers a minute ago, and these are current USDA estimates, but South America is projected to have a record 240 million metric ton crop this year. I think this is the third record in a row for all of South American production. Mm-hmm. So that's up 20 million metric tons year on year, that's 750 million bushels. Mm-hmm. We can lose a lot of production. I think we're far enough along. We know Argentina is not going to have half a crop or something. So why they continue to buy U.S. beans at a premium? I go back to they like to buy U.S. beans because of the storability. So I don't know. It's a welcome to trade war 2.0.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean, I'm with you. I mean, it is the time of year where we see our export sales really slow down. But the range of guesses, I mean, 450 to 1.7 million. There's still people out there expecting to see these sales, and it's because of what's gone on in South America and Brazilian harvest delays. And speaking of Brazilian production and Brazilian harvest delays, you know, that soybean crop got planted a week to 3 weeks later than normal. So are we super surprised that it is getting harvested a little bit later than normal? And also with those recent rains, does that potentially mean the production numbers going higher? Like, I really kind of wonder if this Brazilian crop's actually going to surprise to the upside still yet.
Yeah, I'm with you. And rewind a week or week and a half ago, and there were the stories about China putting some restrictions in place on some shippers out of the southern ports in Brazil, and then all this talk about some sand and soybean meal and whatever else. I mean, I don't know. I think a lot of these things are where we end up in the U.S. missing the forest for the trees, because we're grasping so desperately for some sort of story that might rally the market. When we're sitting here, we've watched beans rally how many cents off the lows? Frontmost beans are, maybe March beans are 4 month highs. And I mean, we're one good up day away from $11. Mm-hmm. I can't even, like, to me, to wrap my brain around that, considering, again, I go back to the South American production numbers.
It's impossible
to kill this crop. So it's kind of like.
Right. That's the thing, is that the weather premium, or the weather market for, yes, okay, harvest delays, whatever, but that crop is made, and it's not like massive flooding that's, we saw what last year, the year before in Paraná. There's very big plants in Mato Grosso. They're not losing production. It's just a matter of timing. And you look at the global cover in the last 2 years, it's gone from 100 million metric tons to what the USDA is currently at, 128. But I'm wondering if it could be closer to 132, 133. That is a massive increase. The world is awash in soybeans. So it's hard to be fundamentally bullish soybeans unless China's going to come in and buy a ton, and that would have to be politically motivated. So, yes, we shall see. Now, again, time flies when you're having fun, so we do kind of have to move on. There are two things that I still want to touch on. One is biofuels policy, because I know that's a very strong suit of yours. And then also acreage. So you can kind of pick which one you want to lead into next, but I would like to hit on both of those.
Well, I think that, I mean, honestly, you teed it up well. This is a good segue right into, and we've talked about beans moving. Let's see. So March beans today, 1075. Mm-hmm. And if you look back in the past 6 weeks, we've moved $1.25 off the lows. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you think about what's happened since then. We had soybean oil absolutely tank the last bit of December, because we had absolutely no clarity with the 45Z situation. Then we saw meal take off because of concerns on Argentine weather. And now, their second week of January, when we finally got guidance, and the bean oil market went crazy, and we rallied 15% or something in a matter of a few days. And we're back up there in that 45, 46 cent area. And this is a big piece of why beans have held their own. I think that one of the things we kind of forget about with beans is that it's more than just, while China's a huge driver, 50% of soybean oil demand now goes into biofuels. And, you know, there's still a tremendous amount of uncertainty, because what was released with 45Z, it's not a final rule. It's only a proposal. And so this is what the industry's left to work off of. And we just can't underestimate the importance of the value of soybean oil going forward, and how much that's potentially pumped into the bean market, especially as we see, you know, we have oil share that's hanging out in the mid to low, what are we today, 42% or something. You know, you go back and look, historically, oil share has been low 30s, nothing like this. So it's a really big piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Well, and in the meantime, you know, Argentina dryness or whatever, you know, there's concerns about their exportability of soybean meal, and, you know, you got meal playing along here today too. So yes, lots going on with that. And again, like you said, nothing finalized. This is a very much a moving target. But yeah, at least for now, it's been all right. Okay, so now as far as acreage is concerned, because I mean this is the subject that I think this is the time of the year where we all have our internal alarm clocks going off about what our expectations are for acreage. I know that we're going to start getting asked for our specific estimates and things like that, but just a general idea, what do you see coming for this next growing season?
Well, I mean, the market's been telling us for a long time that we need more corn acres, or maybe it's not even necessarily that, but it's we need less bean acres. So we've been hanging out at a ratio that's in the 2-2, 2-3 vicinity, which traditionally says you're going to get more corn. But it's fundamentally driven. We have, when you look at world corn exporters, the big four, U.S., Brazil, Argentina, Ukraine, from an Indian stocks perspective, stocks to use, when you pull out the U.S., stocks to use ratios in the other big three exporting nations, they're at like a four-decade low. So that is why we have a lot of a return of export business back to the U.S. That's why, you know, and then on top of getting that 4 bushel an acre surprise in January, you know, we have all these things that have lined up that have put us on this trajectory. I mean, who would have guessed that we'd be near 470 new crop corn now, all things considered? I don't know. I think that we're swimming in beans. We're not going to run out of beans. And at this point, the market is screaming, plant more corn.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. Although the recent strength in beans might be, well, I don't know. Anyways, Susan, thank you for coming on the show. Fantastic job, as always. Looking forward to seeing you down at Top Producer. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And everybody else, come on back to AgriTalk.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Looking to get doctor-prescribed medication like Ozempic or Wegovy? Zelte can help you get GLP-1 medications affordably, whether you have insurance and even if you don't. And 100% online. It's simple. Just text ACCEPT to 200-300 to get started. Zelte can help you get Ozempic, Wegovy, or Zepbound covered by your insurance company, so you pay as little as $0 for the medication if prescribed. No insurance? No problem. Zelte can ship semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and Zepbound, for as little as $151 a month versus $1,000 plus for name brand medications. Either way, it's high quality medical care, weight loss coaching, and access to game changing medications, all 100% online with Zelte and affordable with or without insurance. So don't wait. Text ACCEPT to 200-300 to get started today on your weight loss journey with Zelte. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text ACCEPT to 200-300. That's ACCEPT to 200-300. Text ACCEPT to 200-300.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Looking to get doctor-prescribed medication like Ozempic or Wegovy? Zelte can help you get GLP-1 medications affordably, whether you have insurance and even if you don't. And 100% online. It's simple. Just text ACCEPT to 200-300 to get started. Zelte can help you get Ozempic, Wegovy, or Zepbound covered by your insurance company, so you pay as little as $0 for the medication if prescribed. No insurance? No problem. Zelte can ship semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and Zepbound, for as little as $151 a month versus $1,000 plus for name brand medications. Either way, it's high quality medical care, weight loss coaching, and access to game changing medications, all 100% online with Zelte and affordable with or without insurance. So don't wait. Text ACCEPT to 200-300 to get started today on your weight loss journey with Zelte. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text ACCEPT to 200-300. That's ACCEPT to 200-300. Text ACCEPT to 200-300.
News is, the human we're protecting just got his flu shots. That means all of us antibodies have strong new gear that will help us fight and defend against the flu. We must win so that our human can stay healthy and help protect the people he cares about most.
Let's work as a team to defend against the flu. Gear up with a flu shot to help protect yourself and others and reduce your risk of being sick or hospitalized with the flu. Learn more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report,
a timely, trusted tradition.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not just, you know, working with my physical disabilities, I was emotionally broken. I remember thinking, how did I get here? How? It was affecting me in my marriage. My husband, he didn't know how to help me. He actually called Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project had this thing called Couples Odyssey.
It was an eye-opener, and I think it really saved our marriage.
They gave us books and resources and tools on how to help us with that.
I just love him. I love you, honey.
Me too.
Watching her fight for her mental health, fighting for other veterans, fighting for this family, helped me to fight too. Well, I always loved it, but I love it 10 times more for that.
Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here. Chip ain't here. He's gone. But we've got Ted Seifried, which is awesome. So glad that you're here with us, Ted. Good conversation there with Susan
too.
Stroud from No Bull. Let's No Bull. Ag. It sounds a little like noble rolling off the
noble.
Tongue. It's not that. It's No Bull, as in the cow.
Yeah.
Noble Ag.
You know, com. I've always meant to ask her that. I think that's on purpose, right? I mean, it would make
it's
sense.
It's clever. It's like a wordplay.
Yeah, it's clever. Right.
I like it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Noble.
Yeah.
Noble.
You know, I'll be presenting at the Top Producer Summit as well, tpsummit.com for more information. I've got a podcast going, buddy. And
oh, yeah?
It is rife with heart, you know, with
Ooh.
Horse sense and with
Ooh.
Song. Uh-huh.
Oh, there's song.
Oh, okay. There is song. Yes.
There's,
and in fact,
there should be song. Yeah.
There will be a piano. There will be a microphone and there will be chairs for my panelists at the Top Producer Summit, tpsummit.com. For more, check me out and then go see Susan Stroud. It sounds like she's got a lot of great things that she's not going to have time to talk about, maybe. I don't know. I hope she gets to it all, dude.
Yeah. Okay, great. But wait a minute.
Huh?
You're going to have a piano and a microphone and panelists.
That's right.
Are your panelists expected to partake in the song
Absolutely
portion
not.
Of the presentation?
I wouldn't do that to those people. It's bad enough that they have to sit and listen to me sing.
Yeah.
Here's the gag, all right? I don't know. You probably haven't seen the show. You've got an awful lot going on in your life. But I find farmers or farm ranch people, okay? People who have roots on the farm, who have some kind of farm-related side business going on. Maybe they're running a distillery out of the back of the old barn. Maybe they're doing weddings, you know, down in the old chicken coop. These people come up with the most amazing ideas. And I thought, what better way to give these grow-getters a leg up than to write them a jingle, you know? It's my way of saying thanks for being on the show. Thank you for sharing part of yourself with us. In return, here's a couple of songs to keep in your heart. I'm kind of enjoying it. So I'm going to lay some of that out. Yeah, it's not to be missed. I don't think anything like this has ever been attempted at a Top Producer Summit before. You may be able to see me get fired live on stage if you are there. It's possible. I don't know which way this is going to go, Ted.
No, we're not going to see that. Nobody wants to see that, Davis. Nobody.
I don't
wants
know.
To see
they might be.
Although
out there.
I would be very, very interested in panelist contribution to the song. I think that would be Maybe have to work on that for next year.
You know what?
I'll throw my hat in the ring. I can. No, actually, I can't really do anything. I can play the cowbell. Naomi Bloom gave me a cowbell a couple years back, and
she's in a band, right?
She is, yeah. Yeah. So, Cheese Stick Thunder, I believe. Naomi, if you're listening, shout out to the band Cheese Stick Thunder.
Here, here, Cheese Stick Thunder.
Yeah. Maybe Davis could be a guest vocalist or pianist someday. That would be fantastic. But
smile when you say that, Ted.
You know. You know.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Corn has a better fundamental story than beans. I guess I'm along with that, but she did remind beans are $1.25 off the low. We'll call it roughly $1.25 here. Your thoughts on the whole conversation with Susan, Ted? What do you got?
You know, beans are, or I'm sorry, corn closed about 90 cents off the low in the March corn. The corn story has been getting better for quite some time. Each one of the last, what, 7 or 8 WASDE reports, we've seen a tighter carryover for corn. Demand's been better than expected. Production came in lower that ultimately than what we the USDA had been saying. There's been good news for corn, but I think most importantly, corn still has weather risk in the second season corn crop, and I don't think we can give away that weather premium from the market just yet. On the other side of that, though, Davis, I am going to say that the funds have now gotten very, very long in the corn market. So if there is fund liquidation happening for whatever reason, geopolitical, money flow, risk off, you know, all those sorts of things that can cause these guys to run for the door that don't necessarily have to do with weather or grain market fundamentals, you have to recognize that is a possibility. That is a risk that we have in the market right now. Things can change from a climate perspective, not necessarily a fundamental perspective. So do recognize that. Do pay attention to that. Be cognizant of it. But yes, fundamentally, the corn story is a lot better on a domestic level, on a global level. Global carryover, non-China, is one of the tighter global carryovers for corn that we've seen in the last 10 years. I think the tightest one that we've seen in the last 10 years, 9 or 10 years. Soybeans are the opposite, right? I mean, we've seen our global soybean ending stocks balloon by almost 30% in 2 years. So when you go back and talk about acreage, yeah, there's a lot of reason for the market to want to incentivize corn acres over soybean acres. Again, soybeans have come on a little bit lately, but from a percentage basis, corn's still the winner. The problem that I see both places, you have projected negative margins at the moment. Again, this is an overall generalization. You know, it depends. It's different for everybody. But prices aren't exactly saying, hey, we're going to make tons of money this year. So are we going to see a big increase in principal acreage? I don't know. I don't really get that feeling. And also, we've seen pretty massive declines in principal acreage over the past couple of years. So does that trend continue? Where has that acreage been going? I mean, all the same question marks that we had when we saw the acreage numbers last year. It's been a weird last 4 or 5 years as far as acreage is concerned. Part of that's because of trade war. Part of it was because of COVID. So there's a lot of like data in there that we're not exactly sure how much we should trust. But yeah, no, look, buckle up. It's going to be a crazy next few months.
Well, maybe a little volatility. From volatility, opportunities will come, Ted. Mm-hmm. Let's just hope those opportunities are good ones and maybe we
well, it's pretty. It's certainly better than it was back in August right now, that's for sure.
Dude. Hey, let's get to the weather forecast. I've got the National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook here. It's going to be cold everywhere except in the southeast and down into the very low, low southern parts of Texas. Below normal temperatures the most, let's call it Montana, North Dakota area, cold up north. And then when we look out to the 6 to 10-day precipitation outlook, it's wet pretty much everywhere. Above normal precip expected just about everywhere. Then out to the 8 to 14 day, similar deal. The below normal temperatures remain. They get a little warmer. We get a little bit more warmth across the west, but still the entire nation almost above normal precipitation chances. Ted, take us home, baby.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening to AgriTalk. I've had a wonderful time, as I always do. So everybody, tune in tomorrow for both shows. I'm sure you won't be disappointed. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
The county just requested more electric charging stations.
Orders have really amped up at Able Electric.
We need 3 more at First in Maine, and we just got another hotel chain.
It's no shock. Able Electric needs Able Electricians.
The grocery store wants charging stations, too.
And fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Doug. Quickly move. We don't have much time. This Liberty ad is already almost over. We only have a few precious seconds to remind people to customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Okay.
Well, I guess we had more time than I thought.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The first flight carrying migrants to Guantanamo Bay has taken off from El Paso, Texas. It will bring slightly less than a dozen migrants